through Facebook or email that this is an interesting context. We're going to be real blunt about some things this morning, and not like we haven't been, but this context lends itself to that, and as a result, I would encourage you parents concerning this that I'm going to try to be as direct as possible without crossing lines that I don't think need to be crossed. So I'm asking you, as I'm preaching, that you'd pray, and also that we would just stay focused on the different things that we'll be discussing today. So let me pray as we're starting out. Father, I ask you that these topics that are very, it's interesting how your word transcends culture, that it's very direct and it's exactly what we need at the times that we're working through things, and it's just the amazing timing for this message today. And so I ask you, God, to guide words, that what you want said to be said and what you don't want said to be to not be said, and I trust you. And obviously we want that every week, but there's times where we're pretty aware of that this could be really volatile. And so, God, would you guide and direct in all these things? And we're trusting you to do your work. So thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Boy, we are in our society, we're so, I think, schizophrenic in some ways. Some of the messages that are shared back and forth, there's certain things that are said, and you're thinking, wow, that's teaching this. And then this comes along and it's kind of the opposite. And so I'm trying to figure out what is the world trying to get across? What are they? And it's not like I'm worried about the world, but you have an understanding that even though if you would separate yourself completely from it, say, yeah, I don't watch that or I don't listen to that, that has no bearing on me, it will. It will. It will affect your kids and it will affect your grandkids or somewhere down the line, unless you find an island and you and the skipper go on a three-hour tour, and then you're stuck for a while. And even then, you got that little transistor that you listen to with Gilligan every now and then. All right, so at some point, you're going to hear some stuff. And then different people will show up on the island, and somehow they get off, but you still are stuck on it. But stay with me, guys. This is huge, what I'm saying. There's a show called The Voice. And it's actually, I think, become actually more popular than American Idol. It's kind of American Idol-ish, but it's got some different standards on it. And different rules and things along the line. But it's another opportunity for people to become pop stars. I mean, back in the day, we had, of all things, Star Search. For those of you that didn't know, there that was an attempt, early American Idol attempt, I think with Ed McMahon. But anyways, two artists on The Voice, who are actually judges, have songs that I think communicate stuff that you and I would go, well, why would they sing a song like that? Why would that be something? One is a guy named Adam Levine, and he's a part of a band called Maroon 5. Excellent voice. But he's got a song on his Maroon 5 album called Animals. Baby, I'm praying on you tonight. P-R-E. Hunt you down, eat you alive. Maybe you think you can hide. I can smell your scent for miles, just like animals. Animals like animals. Moles. Baby, I'm... And I could keep reading down lyrics. And when you hear songs, they grab you. We just talked through a song on Wednesday night at youth group called Take Me to Church, that if you were to look at the words, what a great song. Take me to church. That's a great idea. But when you read or listen to the words, catchy song, but you start to go, wow, this is teaching actually something different than Mrs. Murgatroyd's Sunday school class. Who's Mrs. Murgatroyd? Anyways, so that's just one song from one of the judges of The Voice. Pharrell, from his album that actually was nominated for a Grammy, the same album that has the song Happy on it, which you'd hear Happy and you'd think, yeah, it's Happy. A song called Hunter. So because it's the middle of the night, that don't mean I won't hunt you down. Because up in deep inside, it's pulling me and I want your love. And he keeps going and he's talking about the fact that he is going to hunt her down. So in one instance, we have Adam Levine singing, "Animals, I'm heading this direction toward you. I'm preying on you." We have Pharrell singing, the same guy who sings "Happy," "I am a hunter, I am hunting you down." And so you hear those words and you think, oh, it's just a song. But so in one instance, our media, which is it can either be a map or it can be a mirror. That's what media does. It guides worldviews. It gives this, I'm going to head this direction. And it's also a mirror. I look at it and I see, how do I react to this? How do I respond to it? So in one instance, I've got, and those are just two songs. I could find more. Two songs of guys that are pretty popular saying, "Hey girl, look out. I'm after you. I'm going to hunt you down." Then you've got a commercial like this one that plays regularly on Sundays.
"No more boys will be boys.
No more, what's the big deal?
No more,
it's just the way he is.
No more, he just has a temper.
No more, but he's such a nice guy.
No more, but he has such a bright future.
No more, not my problem.
No more, I'll say something next time.
No more. Why didn't she tell anyone?
No more. Why doesn't she just leak?
No more. I'm sure they'll work it out.
No more. She seems fine to me.
No more. What was she wearing?
No more. She was drunk.
No more. He was drunk.
No more. She was asking for it.
No more. She never said no.
No more. Not in this family.
No more. Not on this team.
No more. We don't talk about that.
No more bystanding.
No more ignorance.
No more excuses.
No more.
So let me get this straight. My songs can tell me it's okay. But then I've got either present NFL players telling me no more, or Hall of Fame guys in that same commercial telling me no more. Which is it? I'm getting mixed messages here. I'm trying to have an understanding. What are you saying to me, culture? And so we have a movie come out this week that you see, especially on social media, you see a bunch of different things from non-Christians and Christians alike. And people saying, this is the worst thing that's ever happened, and then others, what's the big deal? Very, very confusing. Because we have little ones watching us, others just trying to figure out, where do we stand? Or do we take a stand? And so once again, when I pick up the lenses that I look through life, and if you could imagine for a moment, this is my worldview, what do these look like? And does this matter when it comes to that? And so we come to a passage of Scripture today that's rough. I mean, this is rough stuff. And so as we're working through it together, I've got so many different things on my mind. But I want, as I've done study, I want to say exactly what is needed here today in 2015. And what is God trying to get across to us in a story that, when you think about it, he's been working through some amazing things, this guy Jacob. He's been going through and he does the Bethel thing where he has the stairway to heaven and God speaks to him, and he has other times where he's starting to get a clue where he got married and he's doing parenting and he's interacting with family and he's trying to figure out stuff, and he ultimately gets out of a situation that you think, man, he jumps from out of the frying pan into the fire, because then he has to, he deals with Laban, and then ultimately he has to go see his brother again, that he burned his brother back in the day, and so now he's got to make some reconciliation there and work that out, and then he gets that worked out. You think we're done. He wrestles with God. He got all these different things that are happening with him. And now he's in this, and it's almost like there's a parenthesis. You'll see this sometimes in Scripture, where it's like, "What, God, what are you doing? What is that story in there for? Why is that the case?" And this is one of them. But all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And so we don't skip this one because it's a rough passage. And so I want, as we're doing this together, as we're talking, let's stay focused and see how God is trying to teach us some things concerning young ladies and young men. Point number one, it's in the seeing. It's in the seeing. If you want to take notes, there's a section in your bulletin. You can pull that out and start writing some things down. But first of all, it's in the seeing. Look at verse 1. Now Dinah, the daughter of Leah, that's important. Remember, there's four different women that are in Jacob's life. He's got Leah and Rachel and Bilhah and Zilpah. And we've got the two sisters, and we have the handmaidens to those sisters. And out of those four ladies, we have 11 boys and one girl. Could you imagine that household? All right. And so we've got Dinah here, the daughter of Leah, whom she had born to Jacob, went out to see the women of the land. They probably should have headed toward Bethel, but he stopped and he's in this area called Shechem, and he's going to be coming in contact with the Shechemites and others concerning that. And so he's got this little girl. I don't know how old she is. It seems like she is a teenager at this point. And she wants to see how the other ladies are living. Her being the only girl, there's probably some things in her life where she's like, she sees some women and she wants to figure out life and stuff like that. And the boys are always doing their stuff, the work that they have to do and stuff. And she's the only girl and mom, it doesn't seem like anybody's chaperoning. It doesn't seem like anybody's taking the interest to keep her under wraps, to care for her in this instance. And so she heads into the culture. And instead, you see that here. Went out to see the women of the land. Look at verse 2, the first part of verse 2. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, the prince of the land, saw her. Look at that. She came into a place where somebody saw her. She came into a place and it was someone that wasn't thinking the best for her. And so there's going to be times that right now, as I'm direct with you young ladies, the reason that your dad or your mom, because sometimes she's the one that has to step in this area, are so trying to be careful and trying to make you aware of it is because your dad knows guys. I don't want you paranoid about every guy, but I'd almost rather have you be a little paranoid about every guy. To be a little more aware. To have your radar up. To have an understanding that this gender is interesting. All right? And that you would, instead of going, oh no, you know, trust me. And how do I know? Because I is one, all right? And so, this is the situation where she's heading in and a guy comes along and he is a smooth, I love one time I was talking to Sil Atke about this and we were talking about some guy and he calls after we listened to a song together, he goes, you know what that guy sounds like? And I was waiting, what's Sil going to call him? That guy sounds like an operator. Isn't that good? That smooth operator. The guy who knows how to talk to the ladies. All right? The guy that you steps up. And those guys, I was always envious of them. You know, they were the ones that you're like, you know, you think you're being cool and all that stuff. And this guy comes along and he just knows how to talk. And you're like, and by the time he's walking away with her and you're like, How in the world does he do that? Smooth operator. And through words, pulls her into a situation that is not good. Point number two, it's in the seducing. It's in the seducing. Look at the second part of verse 2. After he saw her, he seized her and lay with her and humiliated her. This is called rape. This was forcible rape. That's what rape is. This was wrong. And I'm stressing that because I want us to realize that we are now living in a society that as time goes by and it gets more and more interesting, I want you to know that there will be things that will be worded a certain way and nuanced, and I can sing a couple of songs and make it sound okay, but it ultimately leads to some guys shaking their heads. This'll no more. No more. You just sang a song. You just, the same fraternity. The same amount. You ever look at our popular culture and realize that's just one big high school? You got the people that are great at drama and they have awards for them called Oscars in the big high school called America or the high school called the world. And they're the most popular. And you have the musicians and they get Grammys and you have the athletes and we're just all the ones on the outside watching. Some of you are like, I don't watch it. Well, it's affecting our world because we're drawing our cues from them. And so in the drama and music department, they sing and they act out movies that say certain things are okay. And then in the sports arena, and by the way, these guys are telling me no more. You guys are the ones doing it! Why are you telling me? I'm getting worked up. No more. And it sounds so noble. And here's why it sounds so noble. Because somebody got caught in an elevator punching his girl. And so we got to make things look good. So we have these commercials. Some of them, have you ever seen them? They're just in tears. I'm thinking, actors. Actors. And if my worldview is, I can sing animals and I can sing Hunter, and if you don't know about it, if you aren't aware of it, we're good. But once you are aware of it, now I got to find ways to word it so I get out of my problems. This is rape. And it's wrong. And guys, we need to treat our ladies with respect. But it comes from, we're not thinking straight if our worldview, our glasses, are not tied to a standard. And our hearts aren't changed. Because why are these things so popular? Why? Because there's something that draws our emotions. Why would a book that glamorizes certain things, why would it be such a bestseller? Because it appeals to our flesh. It does something for us. It makes us feel good, or it makes, oh, it does nothing for me. Okay, that's you. But there's millions of people. And as time goes by, it's going to get more interesting. I had an opportunity. We had just had Sunday school class with the young adults. And one of the members or the part of the class is a teacher of math for 4th to 7th graders. Now get that in your brain. And those 4th to 7th graders are being exposed because she doesn't know. She's just teaching the class. But they're having to deal with kids. And you teachers could say this. You know it. These kids are being exposed to things that never you were aware of when you were a kid. When you found out about certain things and what was the deal and what worked here and what, and you're like, wow. And that was like 2 years ago for me. No. But fourth to seventh graders that have to sometimes split up this boy from talking to this girl or this girl from talking to this boy because she knows more about stuff than he needs to be hearing? I don't want to know about this going on. Wake up! It's a reality. And I need to know. I don't have to watch the stuff. I don't even have to sit and listen to the tunes. But you better have an understanding that this is the society that our teachers are teaching in. And you could say, well, I'll pull them out of this. I'll pull them out. I don't. At some point, you got to leave the island. And you're aware of the fact that this is a reality. And we need to be in prayer. But dads, there's a word in the Scriptures here as we worship. Our job is to be the guardian at the gate. And Mom, if you have to be, you got to be the guardian at the gate. Because it's in the seducing. There's Shechems everywhere. And I need to be aware of it with my little girl. Point number three. It's in being sought. It's in being sought. Look at verses 3 and 4. And his soul was drawn to Dinah, the daughter of Jacob. He loved the young woman and spoke tenderly to her. Boy, is this guy good. So Shechem spoke to his father Hamor, saying, get me this girl for my wife. Now, you may look at that and that's pretty good. But the problem is, it doesn't matter how he felt. What he had done was wrong. You'll never see in these verses at all any apology, any remorse, any repentance. There's nothing. It's, how does this benefit me? He just gets done raping the girl, but there is something about her that kind of attracted him, and so he starts going, you know what? I'm going to start speaking tenderly toward her. And then this is so today, too. Abusive boyfriends. Situations where people get involved in things before they should. And it messes with the mind. That's why God says keep sex at the time where it needs to be in marriage. Don't take the steps beforehand. Don't do this. I know how you're wired. I know that this will deceive you. I know that you'll start heading directions that you never thought you'd head. I know that you'll start viewing one another in ways that are kind of skewed because that was not to be the place where they're supposed to be. And so people are in relationships and they are blinded to the fact that we actually aren't that compatible, but we've been doing this thing and it kind of gives me a skewed idea. So I think we should be together. Instead of building a friendship and having a relationship built on friendship as opposed to built on the physical. And so we see here this guy, he's drawn, and so he speaks to his dad and he says, get me, look at this, he doesn't even say Dinah, get me this girl for my wife. She has become property. Stay with me, please. He starts in his mind to do and make things right. And so the custom of the day is he's going through his father to set up this marriage. Look at verse 5. Now Jacob heard that he had defiled his daughter Dinah, but his sons were with his livestock in the field. So Jacob held his peace until they came. Now please, take that in. Dad is not taking seriously the role that dad is supposed to be. He is not the guardian of the gate like he ought to be. I heard that my daughter was defiled, but my boys are out in the field, and I'm going to just not say anything right now. Does that strike you as interesting? I'm telling you, if that had happened to my daughter, I would have found a 2x4 or a baseball bat. And we would have been working Shechem, all right? Somehow we would have found him. I know that sounds so pastoral, all right? But what happened to that girl, his treasure, his rose, should not have happened. And dads, I see dads sometimes that this is the instance that's sad, but there's guys that will not ever have to go past the guardian of the gate. They can go and get this girl. And I know if a girl's doing stuff behind a dad's back, you know, there's only so much that can be done. But if there's an understanding that ever since she was this little one and he's been on her lap and basically you're mine until God gives you to somebody else. And I'm kissing the back of her head and I'm telling her how much I love her and how special she is and how she is it. And I'm giving her the affection, the proper affection that she needs until someday I have to hand her to that gorilla, all right? But to have that understanding and that all of the guys have that understanding, and I'm trying as much as I can possibly be to be aware of where she's at and who she's hanging with. And we see a guy here that seems to have forfeited that right. And I'll see sometimes there are these guys that they don't have to go through any guardian of the gate. And those same guys, who can take that girl, that daughter, and just spend time with her and do whatever with her, instead of having to even, don't just honk the horn, come to the door. What's up with that? But those same guys, if they walked in and said, you know, hey, yeah, I've been dating your daughter. Can I use your truck? There'd be guys, there's no way you can use my truck. That's my truck. Dude, that's your daughter. So they'd be quicker to hand this precious gift over as opposed to the keys of something that, honestly, is not eternal. And so to have the proper perspective that these girls that God has placed into all of our lives, that's what the beauty of the church is, the daughters of you are also my sisters in Christ, that I'm going to also be a guardian. And we've got all these guardians at the gate. Isn't it awesome? All these guys are like, we're about protecting the girls here. It's not like we're in a commune or anything, I understand. But I want you to understand. And girls, I'm shooting up a flare right now. I'm watching you. I'm watching who you're hanging with. I care. I'll have talks with guys. I'm so blessed by these guys. These girls are getting married, and I'll sit across from the guy, and the guy can actually talk to me like an adult. And it's just beautiful. It's awesome. I know that maybe. Well, doesn't everybody? Trust me. There are guys that I can't. They can't even look me in the eye. It's not. Am I that hideous? They don't know how to talk to an adult. And I want to be that wall to help out, and we got all these walls. And after a while, people go, the Shechems that show up, man, I'm not going to get anything here. That's right, Shechem. We love each other. We're keeping an eye out for each other. So that years later, there's no regrets. That we have a wall and a place that we love and protect. Verse 6. And Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out to Jacob to speak with him. The sons of Jacob had come in from the field as soon as they heard of it, and the men were indignant and very angry because he had done an outrageous thing in Israel by lying with Jacob's daughter, for such a thing must not be done. So we've got dad who's kind of passive. Then we got the brothers. And by the way, 11 brothers and this guy messed with her? Is he stupid? Honestly, it's bad enough having the one big brother, 11. But their anger is right. It's the way it should be. So steps are being taken to set this up. And the brothers get involved. Let's keep going. Point number 4, it's in the scandal. It's in the scandal. Look at verses 8 to 10. But Hamor spoke with them, saying, "The soul of my son Shechem longs for your daughter. Please give her to him to be his wife. Make marriages with us. Give your daughters to us and take our daughters for yourselves. You shall dwell with us, and the land shall be open to you. Dwell and trade in it and get property in it. And so this Prince of Shechem, he paints this picture of harmonious integration. There's no apology. There's no repentance. There's no brokenness. There's no, we know what we did is wrong. We want to make it right. It's look at all the benefits of our group getting together. And the world would look at us. These are unbelievers, and they're looking at unbelievers, and they're going, yeah, let's get those church girls, and we'll have the church girls, and you can have our girls, and we'll just all get together. And God says, I don't want it for you. I don't want it for you. I want there to be definite lines. And the lines are not racial, by the way. The lines are spiritual. Look at verse 11 and 12. Shechem also said to her father and to her brothers, let me find favor in your eyes, and whatever you say to me, I will give. Ask me for as great a bride price and gift as you will, and I will give whatever you say to me. Only give me the young woman to be my wife. He seems legit. He seems, I'll do whatever. Look at verse 13. The sons of Jacob answered Shechem and his father Hamor deceitfully because he had defiled their sister Dinah. They said to them, we cannot do this thing to give our sister to one who is uncircumcised, for that would be a disgrace to us. Only on this condition will we agree with you, that you will become as we are by every male among you being circumcised. Then we will give our daughters to you, and we will take your daughters to ourselves, and we will dwell with you and become one people. But if you will not listen to us and be circumcised, then we will take our daughter and we will be gone. And so they're faking interest in the proposals that are put forward, and they're misusing the sign of the Abrahamic covenant. Those of you that know what circumcision is, you'll think, wow, that's interesting. And those of you that don't are actually having a discussion in the car as you drive home today. But isn't it interesting how they use something that was actually supposed to be something spiritual? It was supposed to be a special sign. It was supposed to be something set apart. It would be like, we'll let you have our daughter if you get baptized, or if you tell me you're saved. And there are people that will do that sometimes to get people in their lives. They'll say, oh, you're a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. Do you want to marry? Yeah, I'll marry you. And they'll say, yeah, I'm into Jesus. And so this is nothing new. This goes on. But they're using something that they shouldn't have. They've got something in their brain. The guys have thought about, these are guys. And these are guys that it sounds like they're pretty violent, and it also sounds like they like fighting, and they like how to straighten out this mess. And I don't know who came up with the idea. It sounds like Simeon and Levi came up with the idea, and the others played along. But whatever the case, we've got some messed up people here, folks. Verses 18 and 19. Their words pleased Hamor and Haber's son Shechem. Now, honestly, I don't know how that happened with what they were giving them as an idea. Okay, their words pleased Hamor and Haber's son Shechem. And the young man did not delay to do the thing, because he delighted in Jacob's daughter. Now, he was the most honored of all his father's house. Now, think about that. The best guy from that family is a rapist. He's their best. Like that, he was daddy's, he's the one that had the most plaques on his wall or tent. You know, best hunter, pretty good campfire maker, you know, whatever it is. He's the best. Could you imagine what the other brothers were like? Well, we got Shechem. He's amazing. Look at Shechem, and he's the rapist. What are those other ones? Wow. Verse 20. So Hamor and his son Shechem came to the gate of their city and spoke to the men of their city, saying, look at this, These men are at peace. Now look at, remember how they said the things that sounded so rosy and nice and good and all the stuff as he's talking, oh, we'll intermarry with you. And it sounded like it's going to benefit you so much, Israel and sons. These men are at peace with us. Let them dwell in the land and trade in it. For behold, the land is large enough for them. Let us take their daughters as wives and let us give them our daughters. Only on this condition will the men agree to dwell with us, to become one people, when every male among us is circumcised as they are circumcised. Look at this. Now this is that sneaky fine print thing. Will not their livestock, their property, and all their beasts be ours? Only let us agree with them, and they will dwell with us. And all who went out of the city of gate of the city listened to Hamor. And I don't know how they convinced them, but there, here we go. Hamor and his son Shechem, and every male was circumcised, all who went out of the gate of his city. Boy, these guys must have been convincing. These are adult men asked to do this. And they're all, that sounds good. It just tells you what men are willing sometimes to do to get stuff. 25. The Word of God. Amazing. On the third day, when they were sore, some of you are still not aware, the ride home is going to be awesome. Two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, now this is important, Dinah's brothers. Now here's why. They are also sons of Leah. Remember, there's four women, Leah, Rachel, Bilhah, and Zilpah. All of them have children. Leah had Dinah, and Simeon and Levi are blood brothers. So they're a little more in. They're a little more aware. Took their swords and came against the city while it felt secure and killed all the males. They killed Hamor and his son Shechem with the sword and took, it's interesting, she's living in that house, and took Dinah out of Shechem's house and went away. You mean Jacob didn't get her out of that house sooner? The sons of Jacob came upon the slain and plundered the city because they had defiled their sister. They took their flocks and their herds, their donkeys, and whatever was in the city and in the field, all their wealth, all their little ones, and their wives, all that was in the houses, they captured and plundered. This is a massacre. And not just a massacre of all the males, but it's a plunder of all the city. This is not just justice. This is vengeance. This is way excessive than even the Mosaic law called for. And Simeon and Levi led the charge, but many are involved. How does this happen? So we've got so many different male personalities here. The female personality that we have is the innocent girl that may have been a little too curious and went out, but she needed to be guarded. But we've got the Shechem, who's perverted. He's a rapist. He's the male that is constantly on the prowl, and it's for what he wants. It's for what benefits him. It's for what appeals to his flesh, and he's going to pursue, and he's going to hunt down, and he's going to treat them as animals. So that's the Shechem. And by the way, there are Shechems in Warren County. Do you want to be a Shechem? God saves Shechems, by the way. Then there's the Jacobs, or the Israels, who by now should have been a man that steps up as a dad and been the guardian at the gate, but he's become passive. He's become lazy. He's become someone that instead of holding two things, and maybe there's parts of him, oh, I can't judge too much because I've done stuff. By the way, this lack of judging, or because you've done stuff, that like cancels you out like of everything then. Because at some point, even though we've made stupid choices, I learned from my stupid choice. So here, what better way for me to step up and go and provide as an opportunity to go, just so you know, as I speak to you, daughter, or as I speak to you, son, or as I speak to you, young man or young woman, I say it not as one who has not sinned. I say it to you, one who has dropped the ball on a pretty regular basis. But I'm telling you, it's not good. What you're doing is not good. And I love you enough to say, as someone who is flawed, stop going there. Head this direction. So you have Shechem and you have Jacob, and God can save Shechems and change them. God, such were some of you, Corinthians says. But you've been bought and you've been washed and you've been sanctified. And it's a work of Christ. And by the way, God saves Jacob's. And also God does a work in Simeon's and Levi's. And we've got guys that are just thugs. Violent folk. Guys that are out of control. Guys that when push comes to shove and they're dealing with conflict, they react. And instead of Dad pulling them aside and guiding, because they should have been angry, they should have been upset. What happened to their daughter? Their sister was wrong. But there's a beauty to a river because it has banks. But a river that doesn't have banks anymore and it floods over, and that's what this has become. This is a massacre. This is vengeance. This is revenge. This is off the charts. My anger is not bridled anymore. Look at these verses concerning anger. We got the verse from James that says this: "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak." And look, it doesn't say don't ever get angry. Should they have gotten angry? I think so. But slow to anger. Thinking through. Next verse, Ephesians. "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger." And so these guys were just fuming. And come on, it's a sick mind that comes up with, "Hey, you know what? Let's get them all to get circumcised. We'll do that. We'll use that. And then when they're sore, we're going to kill them." You know what would it take to kill somebody? Some of you are like, "I've thought about it." That's a far stretch. These guys have thought about it. And this vengeance, look at verse 30. And I want you to notice Jacob's response. "Then Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, 'You have brought trouble on me by making me stink to the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites and the Perizzites. My numbers are few, and if they gather themselves against me and attack me, I shall be destroyed, both I and my household.'" Now, can you please take in the personal pronouns here and how singular they are? Isn't it interesting, guys, that we've gotten married? Okay, the guys that got married, some of you that aren't married yet, you've already figured this one out. But I'm telling you, what marriage does for you, it shines a light on your selfishness. It's one big mirror. You are selfish. Yeah, I'm selfish. And so this whole thing of I, me, my, when you get married and you have children, guys, let's get this in our brain right now. That word means nothing. I, me, my. It's us. It's we. It's that. Jacob cared more about being a stench to people that honestly didn't matter. His reputation, the Canaanites and the Perizzites, these are people that raped. These are people that worshipped idols. These are people that sacrificed their children. And he's like, "I wonder what they're going to think of me." Instead of going, "Man, my daughter got raped." He's more angry about his reputation in this area than he is what happened to his daughter. Is that messed up? And that's that stinking thinking. That's that lousy thought pattern that hits our lives when I'm not lining myself up with Scripture. And so he needed to pull aside Simeon and Levi and to have the opportunity and go, I'm just as mad as you. How do we deal with this properly, sons? And talk it through. Instead of going, well, shucks, I don't know what to do. And his sons start coming up with these ideas. And I don't even think they didn't pass it past dad. They just go on getting these ideas. And they definitely didn't tell him, oh, by the way, when they're sore, we're going to go to town with our swords. Because he doesn't have this, it doesn't seem like he has this kind of relationship with his boys. If that is the case in our lives, we need to start now. Look at the last verse here. And I just see them as so frustrated. But they said, should he treat our sister like a prostitute? In their minds, they're like, no, Dad, I'm sorry. And it's because Dad had become so passive that it's like, well, if you aren't going to do something about it, I'm going to do something about it. And it is right. So what kind of man, I want to challenge you, what kind of man are you? And to have an awareness that probably in all of us there's a little bit of Shechem. If we're honest. And Father, that you would guard my heart and that would you every part of Shechem would, God, you'd move that out of me, that I would not be a person that thinks like that, that lives like that. And when I come across Shechems, to be aware of it. And challenge guys. If you saw a guy mistreating a girl. I'm telling you, as time goes by, more and more, those kind of conversations don't happen. We just don't want to bother with it. There's a guy that was starting to date a girl from our youth group that I pulled aside and I asked him what his plans were. And he looked at me with the widest eyes in the world. By the way, he hasn't been back. It's been a while. It was a really good conversation. I didn't have a bat in my hand. But I just asked. Just was curious. And every now and then I do that. And I don't think that's out of line. I'm not asking anything bad. I'm just asking. So there are Shechems. Then there's Jacobs. And then there's Simeon's and Levi's. All of them in the work of God can be used for the glory of God, surrendered to the will of God. So let's make that our prayer. And let's be realistic about the world we live in. It's not going to get any sweeter. Like the people, if you look at the, I can't believe movies like that are coming out. It's going to get more interesting. I'm just telling you, I'm not, and by the way, I don't have a crystal ball. It's kind of in the Bible. He said this would happen. And so, but the thing is, where are we as Christians and where are we in the church? Judgment begins with the house of God. And we'll stand for righteousness. And by the way, as we stand for righteousness and as we point at unrighteousness, understand, where's my heart? Where's my heart? And it comes to confessing sins to one another. It comes to humility. It comes to an understanding of how messed up, apart from the grace of God, how messed up we really are. And just being honest about it. And just allow God to just, through his work, Father, you're doing a work. And pray protection. We just in Sunday school today, we prayed protection for our church. We prayed protection on our little ones. That's why we have things like a child protection policy. We're going to put up as many walls and standards and understand. So if there would be anybody that would be coming in here and they would have a heart of harm to them, that they know, man, these people, they're realistic. It isn't, come on in, we all love each other in church and it's okay, and here you can work in the nursery and you can. Mm-hmm. We're going to have those standards. And let's have the standard when it comes to the Word of God. Guys, something that helped me, this helped me so much in my dating life. Josh McDowell had a cassette tape called Maximum Dating. I've talked to you guys about this before, but I'm telling you guys, and God will honor it. You might see all these guys around you, and they're, seems like they're just having so much fun. All they're doing is filling their backpack with junk. That once they get married, they're going to have that backpack, and they're going to have to deal with that. And so if some of you are like, oh, I just don't, my testimony isn't that great. Oh, amen. The worst thing I did was steal a Lego, you know, when I was a little kid, you know. But Maximum Dating, Josh McDowell said this. He goes, as you treat a girl, treat her pre-marriage as if she is your sister or what you'd want your daughter to be treated like. Dude, that helped me so much. It helped me so much. It kept me out of so much stupidity. And I was heading towards stupid land regularly on my own. Let's be godly. Let's help each other out. Let's be a band of brothers. And let's have women, girls here, feeling so respected, so cherished here. So when they think of Grace Bible Church and all that's involved with them, all they can do is smile because of the fact that that's a safe place. That's a place where I'm held with esteem and honor and respect. What a beautiful reputation. And we pray God's protection on this church. Let's pray. Father, I ask you for homes. I ask you for families. I ask you for individuals. I ask you for this church, the church grounds here, all that our church is tied to, that, Father, your hand of protection would be. And if you need to, you know, as you're doing a work of conviction on each of our hearts, that, Father, we would do business with you and understand our hearts, understand how we're prone to wander, prone to leave the God we love. And, Father, that the hearts of the ladies would be right and the hearts of the gentlemen here would be right. And, Father, that you'd use a really rough story to help us deal with things of this nature, things like sex and things like anger and things like passiveness. And Father, when it's all said and done, we look back and Father, you did something because this is your holy and eternal Word of God. And we're going to trust you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.